Swift Talk Radio.
All right. Well, so yes, I'll admit it. I went to a Catholic Church festival recently. Yes, and I know, a serious atheist shouldn't be contributing to the Archdiocese Court Settlement for Pedophiles Fund, but a band I liked was playing there, and I caught the final hour of their performance, and, well, if you don't like that, you can, yeah. But the cool part of the story is what happened to me on the way out, because I'm leaving the festival, and there's a bunch of people who just happen to be walking with me nearby, because that's what happens with crowds, and one of them yells out something like, "Yeah, that's right, I had fun, because I'm drinking for Jesus!" And I just thought that was so cool, so I turned around and I said to the guy, "Man, that needs to be made into a t-shirt." And he says, "It is." And that's when I noticed the guy's wearing an actual t-shirt that says, "Drinking for Jesus 2014. And all his friends who are with him have the same damn shirt. Different colors, different styles, but yeah, the same sort of shirt. I was like blown away. Apparently there's a local band that's got this tour going around called the Drinking for Jesus Tour. So yeah, that's what it was. And I said to them, "You know, scripturally, you're on solid ground, because Jesus turned water into wine at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. So, if nothing else, Jesus does approve of the occasional alcoholic beverage." A quick note regarding the frequency of my show uploads. You have noticed, of course, I'm not making the show upload every Sunday, and it's frustrating to me because I'm trying to get it all done. It's so hard to script everything and get it done, so I've got to make a radical change about how I go about scripting the show, or uploading it, or something, so that when my couple of key hours comes along on Sunday, I'm able to actually get it the fuck done and upload it, and that way you can listen to it on a timely basis. I'm still going to stay committed to the weekly format. However, I have just registered for classes at MATC for welding for the fall. I'm telling you, it's going to be me being busy. It's not going to be as busy as, let's say, when I took calculus last semester, you know, but it's going to be busy, and that may be the time when I will talk with Swift leadership and say I might want to drop down to less than 1 week, but I'm going to keep trying to do the weekly podcast for the summer, for right now, just so you know. So, how is that for opening? Let's just get the show started right off the show here. Alright, enough of that. Swift Radio presents the Sacred Cow Wursthaus. Alright, greetings to all you fine ladies, extraordinary gentlemen, gifted youngsters, and exceptionally talented household pets. This is the Swift Radio Hour for Thursday, July 23rd, 2015. I'm your host, Eric J. Hildeman, and here you'll be challenged by logic and critical thinking as you learn to get yourself back on course by turning just a little bit to the left. And we are the official radio show and podcast of SWIFT, which stands for the Southeast Wisconsin Freethinkers, the largest and oldest group of atheists and agnostics in the greater Milwaukee area. Be sure to check out our website at www.swiftnow.org. This podcast is being recorded live from inside a book depository near Dealey Plaza in Texas, Dallas, Texas, where we are currently looking out the window, where we've got this nice view of a grassy knoll. No, actually, it's being pre-recorded live from Greenfield, Wisconsin, a suburb so remote that people often don't even bother to pick up the shit their dogs leave after going for a walk. You can access our podcast and our permanent home and archive at sacredcowwursthouse.podomatic.com. There you'll find all our episodes, and you can access the podcast RSS feed, subscribe via iTunes, or access it on Google Play, or you can even download the Podomatic app. So you can take it with you everywhere. Quick disclaimer, opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily those of the Southeast Wisconsin Freethinkers, its members, or its affiliate organizations. So, for example, if I say that it's really awesome that Pabst is coming back to Milwaukee, and that I intend to raise a glass of Pabst Blue Ribbon, Schlitz, and yes, even a Blatz in celebration of this fact, not all at once, mind you, I mean, let's drink responsibly, that is not an official position of the group. Especially the drinking part. Swift is an organization which is open to all political affiliations, ethnicities, and viewpoints, even Bud Light drinkers. I'm here. Isabel the Cat is here. Muhammad the Teddy Bear is here, as always. And a few odds and ends, like a spider or two. We've gone back to the silly Christian music sampler to open our show. You may have noticed this time. It was a song called To Worship You by an artist named Michelle Pillar. She's a 3-time Grammy Award nominee and the wife of jazz guitarist Larry Carlton. Her work has been considered to be classic in the field of Christian music, but this song in particular, off of her album Look Who Loves You Now, was one I consider to be a doozy. If you pay attention to the lyrics, she's singing, "To worship you, we give our love, to you, O morning star." But Wait a minute. The morning star is Halel, the star of the morning, which is one of the names for Lucifer! Careful! Do we really know which god we're praying to in this so-called Christian music? You might want to make sure you're singing to the god above instead of the god below before you bilk lots of Christian suckers out of their money. Alright, well, as always, what an interesting week it's been in the news. The New Horizons spacecraft just did a flyby of Pluto. It's a, you know, it seems like old news already, but man, it's still making headlines. It's still getting new images, and people are really finally excited. Even the media, which typically gives a NASA satellite less coverage than the outfit that Jennifer Lopez wore to the Oscars in 2000, but this time, it's Pluto, every kid's favorite not-planet. And the news media has no choice but to grudgingly accept the fact that science news is actually pretty cool once in a while. The images are stunning, and Pluto looks better than ever. Pluto itself, on the other hand, is, well, she's not happy about this at all. In a written statement, she said, "Oh, first these scientists went and dumped me, saying I wasn't even a planet, and now they're all, like, driving slowly past me and taking pictures. I mean, how creepy can you get?" Yeah. And hey, we finally pounded out a deal with Iran regarding its nuclear program in exchange for allowing Iran to have nuclear power plants and lowering of trade sanctions. Iran will forego its nuclear weapons program. Furthermore, the U.S. and its NATO allies will be able to send in inspectors to confirm compliance with the agreement. Shipments into and out of Iran will be more subject to searches by officials, and every Iranian nuclear scientist has to have a rectal exam every 24 hours. Okay, I'm kidding about that last part, but the U.S. does get to be very invasive with its inspections. Now, this is a great deal for us because it allows Western culture to enter Iran, where a large and well-educated segment of the population is already friendly to democracy in the West. So it also relegates the United States to a partnership nation rather than an aggressor nation with Iran. This is significant because it means that the Iranian people now have only two enemies to worry about: Israel and its own backward, back-ass, oppressive, hyper-religious government. And so now the stage is set for a pro-democracy Arab Spring movement in Iran, thanks to this deal. And it's all thanks to John Kerry working closely with Barack Obama on the deal. Of course, Republicans now hate this more than Obamacare. How dare they take away the nation we're supposed to be starting the next war with? Don't they know that we need to keep Iran as an enemy if we're going to come up with some lame excuse to invade a Middle Eastern nation again? Hey, Republicans, there's always ISIS. Yeah. Here's an uncomfortable memory. Remember the Iran-Contra scandal? Where, you know, none other than the favorite conservative hero, Ronald Reagan, sold weapons directly to Iran? Okay, if you don't know, or maybe you're too young to remember, here's the story. Okay, there were several hostages that were being held in Lebanon by an Islamic militant group with ties to Iran. This is about 81, 82, somewhere in there. And a deal was struck. under the table by the Reagan administration, where the hostages would be released in exchange for a weapons sale to Iran. Missiles, guns, heavy artillery, etc. And the weapons would be sold, not by the United States directly, because that would be too overt, but by Israel through backwater channels with them. The weapons Israel then sold to the Iranians would then be reimbursed to them, with the United States receiving what would look like its usual fee for the weapons from the Israelis. So it was kind of a money laundering thing. The deal, however, got screwed up. The hostage takers demanded more concessions when things didn't go exactly their way. Well, under orders, General Oliver North hammered out a deal whereby some of the proceeds of the weapons sale would go to the anti-communist Contra rebels who were fighting their rebellion in Nicaragua against communists there. And so this was kind of a way of getting another concession to the concession on top of it. It was just a big convoluted mess. Of course, the whole thing was illegal. The United States simply does not negotiate with hostage takers, and that's a firm policy enforced by law. Now, by doing this unprecedented and underhanded deal, the U.S. acted in a way which might encourage more hostage-taking in the future. Well, furthermore, supplying weapons to a known enemy without congressional approval was a violation of several federal statutes. Several congressional hearings were held. Oliver North was publicly disgraced. Reagan claimed he knew nothing about it at all, or at least he didn't recall what might have transpired. The likely truth is that Reagan probably didn't remember. He was probably already suffering from the early stages of Alzheimer's. And George Bush Sr. was probably behind it all. It has his thumbprints all over it. Although his get-out-of-jail-free card was that he was only the vice president, and he was therefore out of the loop. But, of course, he'd formerly been director of the CIA. He had the connections, and the Latin American connection is just the sort of thing that smells like the type of thing he'd do. But there wasn't enough proof, so he got away with it. Reagan got off the hook. Oliver North took the fall. So why is it that the party that supposedly, that supported giving weapons to Iran outright is now all upset at the prospect of no nuclear weapons, just nuclear power, going to Iran now? Yeah, I'm sorry. This is supposed to be the funny news segment, but that turned into a history lesson right there. Sorry. Barack Obama gave a landmark speech in which he openly called for prison reform. This on the heels of his issuing a presidential pardon to over 20 convicted felons for nonviolent drug offenses. He said that people released from prison who had done their time and repaid their debt to society should be able to vote. I agree, but not for that general principle. After all, the needless incarceration of so many African Americans that takes place, it just plain makes sense to undo that tragedy by giving them a voice in preventing the next one. That and not having to bend over for the soap helps give you a political backbone. Okay. Well, it's happened again. Another terrorist shooting, this time in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is about the last place you'd expect to see something like that. The shooter was a man named Muhammad Yusuf Abdulaziz, and he basically walked into a strip mall where there was a military recruitment center and killed 4 Marines who were working there. And a 5th victim was a naval petty officer. He died later on from his wounds. I say another terrorist shooting because the shooting done by Dylann Roof, who walked into a church and shot several black people, that's not really been called a terrorist act. But, of course, we all know that it was. There are Christian terrorists, as well as Muslim ones. Yeah. Oh, firefighters battling wildfires in Phelan, California. Or is it Phelan, California? I don't know. They've encountered a new threat which hampers their efforts. Drones. Yes, hobbyists flying drones are preventing firefighters from doing their jobs. The drone pilots fly their drones after equipping them with cameras, and then they fly over the wildfires to get good video footage which they can put up on YouTube. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, the drones flying over those areas hamper the aircraft which need to fly over the same areas to dump water on the fire. The drones could strike the aircraft and endanger the pilots who are trying to save people and property. As if things aren't bad enough, right? You know, hey, drone pilots, here's an idea. You want exciting video? Okay. There's a nude beach in Los Angeles, not more than 50 miles from where the wildfires in Phelan are raging. Why don't you fly over there? Get some nice naked pics. Or even a conventional beach, you know, one or two of those sunbathers, you know, they loosen the tops of their G-strings to work on erasing their tan lines, you know, or raise a little, you know, faux skirt that they drape over their derriere, you know, just have the, you know, the butt floss. That, yeah, come on, that's great video footage. Go check that shit out instead, idiots. All right, well, global warming deniers are going to love this one. Mount Mauna Kea in Hawaii just got hit with a snowstorm. Not today, but last Thursday. Yes, in July. The weather atop the dormant Hawaiian volcano can be very unpredictable, and this is one such event. Lows can dip down into the low 20s, even in midsummer, more than enough to keep snow frozen. So snowstorms, although rare, are not impossible, even in summer. This could either add to the global warming deniers' arsenal, or it could be seen as yet another example of how global warming causes extreme weather fluctuations as well. Well, take your pick. Well, if you want to hit Donald Trump over the head with a stick because of his idiotic comments, now is your chance. A maker of piñatas in a North Dallas suburb is making Trump piñatas. They're so popular that they've sold out, unsurprisingly. But it's not being done out of partisan malice. The piñata maker has also received orders to make hittable replicas of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. But the Trump piñata is certainly the most popular right now. It's sold out. Oh, the Ashley Madison website's been hit by hackers. The popular outfit for bored married people in search of an affair was apparently breached, and now the hackers are threatening to publicize the names of the people they found there. Ashley Madison has bragged about its data security in the past, which makes it a prime target for hackers if they want the cred. Apparently somebody cracked that firewall. No word yet on if any blackmail has been demanded, but the hackers are demanding that the Ashley Madison website be taken down. I guess they're moralists, okay? They don't want people screwing around on their spouses, but they're not afraid to, you know, violate, you know, people's personal privacy and violate a bunch of other laws in order to I don't see how they square that. How is their vandalism supposed to convince us they're right? I don't get that. Well, TLC has finally canceled 19 Kids and Counting. Yeah, they had pulled the remaining season episodes in the wake of a scandal that, of course, we all know about, involving incest between Josh Duggar and some of his sisters, but they'd kept the possibility open regarding the show's return. Well, now that door has been closed, and the show will be canceled outright. Kudos to TLC for finally growing a brain. And lastly, Bill Cosby has, screw that. All right. Ask an Atheist segment. You know, if you have got a question you'd like to ask an atheist, just go ahead and write me, Ask Eric. You can email me at carlsaganjr@aol.com. Make sure to put Ask an Atheist in the subject line. Or you can also reach me on Twitter. Twitter name's @SaganJr. Or you can simply find me on Facebook under my plain old name of Eric Hildeman. It's time for an episode of The Stupid Files. Dum 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 dum. Dum 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 dum. Dum dum. The Stupid Files, the continuing story of intrepid investigator Thomas Munday, who finds examples of such stupidity, it's criminal. If only being this big a moron were somehow against the law. Dum 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 dum. Dum 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 dum. This week, Detective Munday travels to Ontario, Canada, where stupidity has found an outlet in the form of a teenage girl defying her parents. This is not unusual in and of itself. Teenage girls disobey their parents all too frequently, and is very nearly a rite of passage into adulthood for most young women. But this act of defiance was anything but inappropriate. This particular teen did not defy her parents with her sexuality, nor did she begin listening to music which made them cringe. Rather, she disobeyed her vaccine-denying parents by getting herself fully immunized, and her parents are stupid enough to hate this. Dum, 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 dum. Livid over the fact that her daughter acted responsibly for her own health, her mother took to Reddit's legal advice forum to ask whom she might file a lawsuit over regarding this. She writes, "None of my children are vaccinated. Totally by accident, I came to find out that my oldest daughter has been fully vaccinated. Tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis, polio, measles, mumps, rubella, hep A and B, meningitis, A and B, and HPV, without mine or my husband's knowledge or consent. In Ontario, we have socialized medicine and publicly funded vaccines." She admitted she went to clinics run for school-aged children by our local health public health unit to get her shots, and also got a few at a local walk-in clinic that are not yet publicly funded, paid for with her babysitting money. When I called public health and the clinic to complain, they both said that because she is age 16, they cannot release any information to me, and I'm her mother. My husband and I are livid that she was vaccinated without our consent. What kind of action can we take against public health and the clinic for vaccinating a child without parental consent? Do we have a case for a lawsuit?
Dun, 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 dun.
Detective Mundy found it to be a true aberration that parents would be so willing to raise a child improperly, yet have their efforts be thwarted by a child who stubbornly insisted on being raised in a healthy way. So very often it seems to happen in exactly the opposite fashion, and so this young woman deserves all the credit in the world. Credit must also be given to the Canadian healthcare system, which had the wisdom to provide this young woman proper healthcare, even when such meager funding as she was able to provide was all she had. Her parents, however, deserve nothing except ridicule. However, perhaps they deserve a little credit for being incredibly lucky. They are two very stupid individuals who beat the genetic odds and somehow bred a very smart child. And that concludes this week's Stupid Files.
Dum, 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 dum.
All right, time for a Snopes update. Now, I'm working on getting a Snopes update sound effect. You know, that'll be great, you know, just to do a little intro thing here for that. But, okay, here's the claim. Was an Alabama McDonald's restaurant found to be using aborted fetuses to make chicken McNuggets? False! Yeah, okay. That would be a great sound effect right there, too, wouldn't it? Okay, yeah. There's the example collected via email on July 2015. This is an example from an article posted on Facebook. Over 600 aborted fetuses found in storage freezer of Alabama's McDonald's. Restaurant closed. The origins of the story. On 17 July 2015, the website Now 8 News published an article positing that an Alabama McDonald's had been closed down after health authorities discovered personnel there were using aborted human fetuses to make chicken McNuggets. A gruesome discovery has taken place in the basement of Mobile, Alabama McDonald's. Health inspectors found the restaurant was substituting quote-unquote chicken with aborted fetuses purchased from the local Planned Parenthood clinic. The Asian-owned franchise was said to be producing their own nuggets rather than purchasing them from their corporate-approved supplier. It all began when several customers issued complaints with the Alabama Department of Public Health, stating that a foul smell was coming from the back of the restaurant. Other consumers and customers complained that the McNuggets tasted rather gamey and not like other nuggets from different franchise locations. There were a handful of other complaints concerning sanitary conditions of the restaurant. This report was just a fake news account spoofing a recent controversy over Planned Parenthood's sale of fetal tissue, however. You may have seen some of the goofy videos that are going around where sale of fetal tissue for scientific research purposes was purportedly going on. Those videos are a stretch. I should do a whole segment just on that. But Now 8 is designed to look like a local television news outlet. It's a fake news station. There is no Now News 8, okay? There's no Channel 8 in Alabama. This fake news site sprang up in mid-July in imitation of the legitimate Las Vegas TV station KLAS. And it employs the now standard camouflage trick of mixing fictional clickbait stories with real news. Also, 17th of July, Now 8 News, the same fake news outlet, published the same fake news story about a man on a park bench who is being eaten by pigeons. this is a few weeks earlier, okay? So Now 8 News was already established to be a fake news source, and people were buying into it anyway. And this is why you have to turn to Snopes from time to time in order to, you know, make sure that the so-called news story is actually a news story. You never know, it might be a fake one. All right, well, it's time to go to the fish barrel, and I've been spending a lot of time trying to get some, you know, really cool, you know, fish quotes here. I mean, it's fish quotes, fish sound bites is what I mean to say. Okay, so, for example, here's our first news story, and here's our first clip.
Fishy, fishy, fishy!
One fish?
Wow!
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Bastrop in the United States. The conspiracy theories grow wilder as the massive military exercise grew closer. Yes, food riots and martial law were coming to the United States. What's going on? Well, dissidents would be assassinated, Walmarts turned into prison camps, foreign troops would be brought in for help. This is, of course, the Jade Helm 15 military exercise that was supposedly going to take over Texas, an invasion of America by the United States government, no less, because Obama wants to clearly take over America and take people's guns away, right? Mm-hmm, sure. The governor of Texas lent credence to this paranoia by ordering the state's National Guard to monitor a week-long special operations training exercise. Okay, this is the Jade Helm 15 that I was just mentioning. It involved 1,200 troops along seven states, but only Texas apparently has all the crazies that think that this is somehow an invasion. Some people reportedly buried their guns so that government troops couldn't take them away. Others stockpiled ammunition and supplies. A group called Counter Jade Helm helped organize quasi-militias to keep track of troop movements. Jade Helm began last week not with a bang, but with a whimper. In Bastrop, Texas, the scene of a rowdy public meeting where people held up signs declaring no Gestapo in Bastropo, and wore t-shirts with the words "Come and take it" under a drawing of an automatic rifle. They were eerily calm. On the third day of the exercise, nobody seemed to have seen any of the troops or the out-of-town conspiracy theorists who vowed to watch their every move. I mean, we hadn't gotten a single call, according to Steve Adcock, chief of police in a town of about 7,000. We thought that there might be something, but nothing's occurred. Local officials and some residents resent the attention of the protests and the attention that it's drawn. Bastrop is just a few miles from Camp Swift, which is a National Guard storage and training facility. People who have lived there, they have strong supporters, are strong supporters of the military in general, according to Adcock. He didn't recognize any of the people who angrily challenged an army colonel at April's rowdy public meeting. A lot of the conspiracy stuff is not local people, Adcock told the Associated Press. It's making us look really bad. Pete Lanteri, the notorious and hot-headed leader of Counter Jade Helm, Texas, is now making the news regarding this. He apparently was so upset by having to shut down his original Facebook page due to, quote, too many liberal trolls, unquote, that he thought it would just be a good idea to vent his frustration by threatening liberals everywhere. This is just the kind of crazy behavior you'd expect from a guy who organized a group with a mission statement that read, "The sole purpose of Counter Jade Helm is to observe the attempted infiltration of our towns." He also said, "I can't wait to kill thousands of these fucks, man." He was confronted about it on Fox News Radio by host Alan Colmes and claims he was just having a, quote, bad couple of days, unquote. Yeah, we all make death threats when we have one of those bad days, don't we? He allegedly just came back from cremating his dog. And, that makes sense, you know, yeah. I don't feel that way, you know, after a mom dies, much less a dog, but anyway. His co-founder, William Szilagyi, had just quit because he, quote, couldn't take the pressure from the liberal media, unquote. I suppose it couldn't have anything to do with the fact that this guy is an asshole, could it? Yeah, all right. So, let's go on to another one.
I think I'll call a few more. Fishy, fishy, fishy! Do fish?
All right, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker signed a bill into law on Monday that bans abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy unless the mother's life is in danger. The legislation, which passed the GOP-controlled state legislature early this month, makes no exceptions for severe fetal anomalies or for victims of rape and incest. Walker, who is a 2016 presidential candidate, says he supports the legislation because fetuses can feel pain at 20 weeks, an assertion that's been disputed by the mainstream medical community. At 5 months, quote-unquote, here's his quote, "At 5 months, that's the time when that unborn child can feel pain," Walker said Monday. "When the unborn child can feel pain, we should be protecting that child." Abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy are very rare, making up less than 1% of all total abortions. Often, women who seek an abortion care after that point have discovered a severe fetal anomaly, that could not be detected earlier in the pregnancy. In other words, you know, you've got medical reasons, okay, not, you know, contraceptive reasons for why this procedure has to be done and has to be an open option. Several major medical groups in Wisconsin oppose the 20-week abortion ban, including the Wisconsin chapter of the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, according to the Wisconsin Medical Society. The Wisconsin Medical Society is also one of the people opposing. Also, the Wisconsin Academy of Family Physicians and the Wisconsin chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. A group of 100 gynecologists in the state wrote a letter to Walker and members of the state legislature early this month, urging them to oppose the bill because they say it ties the hands of doctors seeking to help women. Well, no shit, right? Quote, "This is bad medicine based on the thoroughly debunked fallacy that a 20-week fetus, which is not viable, can feel pain." Close quote, the doctors wrote. SB 179, AB 237 would block, that's the legislature, designation, would block Wisconsin OBGYNs from being able to treat our patients in a medically appropriate and humane manner. These bills would undoubtedly place us in the unconscionable position of having to watch our patients and their loved ones undergo additional emotional trauma, illness, and suffering during what is already a difficult time. Close quote. U.S. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, a Republican from Kentucky, vowed to bring a federal version of the 20-week abortion ban to vote this year, and nearly every GOP presidential candidate has endorsed it. Anti-abortion activists hope that the federal 20-week ban, which has been enacted in 11 states and passed the U.S. House of Representatives this year, will be a vehicle through which to challenge Roe v. Wade, the landmark 1973 Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion. The court ruled in Roe that women have a constitutional right to an abortion up until the point when the fetus would be a viable baby outside the womb, which does not occur until 22 to 24 weeks of gestation. So here's the thing that I get. Okay, you've got Republicans, they're saying that rights of a fetus should be protected at 20 weeks because that's when they can feel pain. Isn't this openly admitting what I've been saying all along, that the brain defines the being and brain viability defines the point in which growing human cells become a growing human being, and that's when we should be drawing the line at the start of a human being, you know, that instead of conception? Isn't this openly admitting that the idea of conception in which a being begins is wrong? So why aren't we attacking on that? Why are we sitting on the side? Why are we saying nothing? Why is the media saying nothing? Ugh. All right, let's go on to another one.
Shall I call a few more, Bert?
Yeah, yeah, how do you do that? Yeah, yeah!
Well, just like this. Fishy, fishy, fishy! Three fish? Four fish? Five fish!
Wow!
Well, this I take from something called itakelibertywithmycoffee.com. I haven't vetted this website, so take this with a grain of salt, but I still found the story interesting. Here it is. Hempcrete is the newest building material. It's made from hemp fiber, lime, and water. When it's cured, it floats, has excellent insulating power, it's fireproof, and resists insects and termites. Add hemp fiber to lime, and you get a lightweight building material that can be shaped like a cinder block. When it's fully cured, it floats in water. Buildings up to 10 stories tall have been built from hempcrete in Europe, according to Philly.com. Hempcrete is made using the woody, balsa-like interior of the cannabis sativa plant. The fiber for textiles comes from the outer portion of the stalk, combined with lime and water. Although it lacks the structural stability that its name might suggest, hempcrete does provide natural insulation that is airtight yet breathable and flexible. It's free from toxins, impervious to mold and pests, and virtually fireproof. Best of all, hempcrete is a sustainable building material because hemp can be grown and replenished relatively quickly. Hemp-based building materials could usher in a new era of green building products, according to the New York Times. But first, society needs to unlearn 75 years of lies told about hemp by promoters of wood, paper, and plastics products. They conspired to create and produce perhaps one of the most successful propaganda campaigns of all time, a movie entitled Reefer Madness that depicted marijuana users as dangerous criminals with violent tendencies. Based on the reaction to that film, Congress banned the cultivation of hemp in 1937. In fact, hemp has no pharmacological connection to its cousin, the marijuana plant. It grows fast, with little water or fertilizer. It is stronger than cotton, but it can grow in all 50 states. There is, 1 acre of hemp can produce 4 times more paper than an acre of trees. Hemp is ready to harvest after 4 months. Trees take 20 years or more to reach maturity. As a renewable energy source, hemp produces more biomass than any other crop. Hemp oil from the seeds can also supply the raw material for biodegradable plastics. The Farm Bill of 2014, passed by Congress and signed by President Obama, legalized the cultivation of hemp for the first time in 3 generations, but the stigma associated with hemp remains, making farmers reluctant to try growing it. Building inspectors are also largely unfamiliar with the construction characteristics of hemp-based building products and remain skeptical of approving its use. Well, untried means, you know, you're going to be a little bit, well, skeptical of certain things. So, and I want to do one more of the Bert Ernie thing, okay, because I don't have another story to go with it, but just because it's fun.
Ernie, that's terrific. Let me try, okay?
Sure.
How do I do it?
Just make sure you call real loud,
just,
Bert.
Okay, just real loud. Got it. Okay, here we go. Fishy, 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 fishy.
No, Bert.
What?
That's not loud enough. You're calling very quiet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fishy, 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 fishy!
You cold?
That's one for you, Bert.
All right, well, guess what? Yes, it's about that time. Time to bring the grinding gears of the Sacred Cow Verst House to a grinding halt. I promise I'll always do my very best to make sure that here you'll get the best possible brain food for your precious time. Next time, we'll discuss... what will we discuss next time? Next time, we'll discuss, how to come up with a new and catchy slogan for the end of the show. And also make sure to tune into Craftcast, the official podcast of the Kenosha Racine Area Freethinkers, and also the Mythicist Milwaukee Show, part of your secular Sunday breakfast at night. Whoa, what happened there? Oh, I see. All right. My little mouse thing is controlling the wrong volume knob. All right. Don't forget, the Sacred Cow Verst House also exists as a blog. You can read original material and various segments heard on the show at sacredcowversthouse.podomatic.com. sacredcowversthouse.blogspot.com. See, I'm flying on automatic pilot here. Opening music theme is by Universal Dice. You can check them out at universaldice.com. And the closing atheistic music sampler, which you'll hear in a moment, is our... Let's see. What do we got? We got Shallow Be Thy Game. But I think we'll go back to our little, you know... Yeah, we're going to do this thing with George Robb here. All right, where'd it go? Oh, there it is. All right. Enough of the tripping over my own feet here, all right? So long, everybody.
Free for yourself, little man. Don't let them tell you that they have the plan. 'Cause everyone's lost, chin deep in the sand. And what they're trying to sell to you, you shouldn't be buying. Yourself, little girl. Don't let them tell you how to run your world. 'Cause everyone's the same, choking back that nervous hurl. And if they tell you they ain't, well,